This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. The number of women telling their stories of sexual harassment and assault keeps growing. And you can add to that list the former First Lady of Washington State. Mona Lee Locke is a communications professional. She was married to Washington's Governor Gary Locke. She posted her stories of sexual harassment on Facebook after listening to Donald Trump call his accusers liars.
When I saw him kind of bullying them and in a way re-victimizing the victims, I found myself like in my head, you know, talking about this and going, you know, you have to stop and this is not the right the way you treat these people. And then I thought it was a process of thinking, you know what, I need to write this down so it gets out of my head and I can let go of it because I couldn't let go. It was eating away at me. So I started writing just stream of consciousness and that's essentially the next day I thought, I have to post this.
Wasn't political for you?
Yes and no, because it was political because I was in disbelief that someone who could say these things publicly could actually be a nominee for office of the president. That to me was incredible, and that's kind of what prompted it. If it was a Republican or Democrat, if this is the way someone speaks about women, I would be speaking out.
You know, Mona, one of the things that was so striking about what you wrote was the number of stories you had, the amount of harassment that you had faced. And that's still news to some of us, you know, that this is that big a problem.
And I don't think it's just a problem for me. I mean, what became clear and what was surprising to me was just how widespread the post was shared. I mean, it was, you know, liked some 3,000 times or so. But to me, what was more amazing was that it was shared over 1,600 times. What prompted me to come on this radio show, because I had said no to all the media, because I had kind of said my piece and I had put down my thoughts and my feelings and my experience. But what really prompted me was the fact that there were all these other stories out there. I just felt like I had to speak for them, because for them, what became clear was all these people have not talked about it. I mean, there was a story with a mom who messaged me and said that it was the 1970s. She was in labor and a young doctor came in and fondled her breasts while she was in labor. And she was so appalled and so embarrassed that she never said anything. All these years, and one of your most amazing experiences, childbirth, and she was fondled, never told anyone. So when my piece came out, I guess she forwarded it to her two daughters, and they proceeded to have a discussion after that, and she told her story for the first time. And for the first time, both her daughters came forth with their own stories of sexual harassment. Right. Stories like that. I had a gentleman who actually I serve on a board with. He came up to me and he said, you know, I need to talk to you. I got to say, I'm a Republican. He goes, but I want you to know that your piece struck home with me. I read it and I felt ashamed. He said, I have failed my daughter. He goes, she was a young professional in Bellevue, came to me several times and said, Dad, you know, these guys are harassing me or they're asking me out in lewd ways or whatever. Right. And he goes, and I kind of like said, honey, deal with it. That's just life. And he read that piece and he came back and he made it a point to say, you know what? I have failed her and I forwarded your piece to her. And I said, can we talk? Stories like that, you know, you realize how prevalent it is in society. I mean, I was just telling my story. And yeah, it happened to me in many different ways and throughout my career.
And you had said that at least sometimes you weren't sure. Is this for real? That's how you put it in your Facebook post. Is this happening?
Well, you think, is it for real? And then you think, maybe I'm being overly dramatic and it's not a big deal, right? I mean, I grew up with two brothers. I hung out with guys, high school, college. But now when I think back too, it's like, you know, I was kind of around guys and I actually heard a lot of that stuff. And I think probably for me, subliminally, I just didn't want to be one of them on the other side of it, right?
Yeah, in that group that they were treating that way?
Yeah, and then I was anyway.
What made you decide, oh, yes, that was real? You know, I wasn't imagining, I wasn't exaggerating that or misunderstanding.
I really couldn't be the judge of that. All I could do was talk about my experiences and how it impacted me so deeply. And, you know, for me, it was therapy. It was just finally putting out there how I was feeling and the impact it was having on me as so many other victims, I think, of sexual harassment, right? I think when you see it out there, and now that I've kind of come to deal with it head on, I think you're re-victimized each time when someone calls you a liar or says that's not true. I mean, it's my experience, and I'm the only one that went through it. All I can do is share it and hope that it doesn't continue with other women. And I do think it comes down to a cultural shift, how we talk about women, how we think about women. And I think it's also, you know, partly a control thing.
I was surprised when I heard you say that harassment you experienced was to the level where you had to talk to your children about it. Do you want to tell us what you went through?
No, I can't really, but all I can say is I felt that at a certain point, we need to talk about it as a family, as a community, as a culture, and it starts at home. And I felt that I'd gone through some experiences that were very upsetting, and I actually couldn't really keep it from the kids. They could see how upset I was. So I felt the next best step was to really be open with them and talk. And obviously, I have different aged kids, and at that time, it's what's appropriate.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I do think it starts at home. There was one woman that messaged me and told me about a story where she went to Taekwondo with her son, and she saw this little boy grab a girl's butt, like one of the little girls, and the mother of the girl came in, stepped in, said, "No, you can't do that." And the boy waited a couple minutes, did it again. So this woman went over and started talking to the little boy and saying, "You know what? That is inappropriate." And so the Taekwondo instructor came over and said, "You know, what's going on? What are you talking about?" And she explained it to the instructor, and the instructor said, "Well, yes, he shouldn't have grabbed her, but the girl needs to stand up for herself." And that's kind of the attitude so often, I think, that happens in sexual harassment. It's like what I was told at one job, too, was, well, maybe if you had not let him grab you or had asked him to move his hand, maybe it wouldn't have happened again. And so you're the one to blame, in essence, right? Because you're being told, well, if you had stopped that behavior, it wouldn't have happened again. Versus the whole thought that it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
So you did try to tell somebody about this?
No, you know what? I didn't. That was the problem. Because when you're in the moment and you're the victim, it's at that moment that you're thinking this isn't really happening or what's going on. And so you're caught so off guard that I didn't do anything. After the fact, I was told by superiors, well, maybe had you just done something, it wouldn't have repeated. And so I think part of it, someone had texted me and really talked about the fact that not only do we need to teach boys respect, but girls self-respect, right? It happens on both ends. Girls need to say, no, this is not right. You can't do that. But it really shouldn't happen in the first place.
Everybody is asking in a lot of ways what happens post Donald Trump's candidacy. What do you think is happening now? Is this just a publicity blip, people telling these stories, or do you see signs of a permanent change?
I don't think it's a blip. I think it is people actually feeling courage to stand up and talk about their stories. I think this has gone on for so long, and how many countless women have told me their stories, and really a lot of people messenger me so they're not public, and they say, "I can't because I feel like my career is on the line." Same thing with me. When it happened, I thought, I've worked so hard for this career. I can't be branded this because I will never be able to get another job in this career. I mean, as I said in my story, I consulted with an attorney and he said, look, in the bigger scheme of things, looking out for you, don't even talk about it. He goes, don't even tell HR about it. That was the advice I was given to protect me. Because then it becomes he said, she said in the long run, right?
Yeah.
And chances are, if it's someone who's superior to you, you're going to get tossed out eventually.
What has sharing your story and reading all those other stories done for you? How has that affected you?
It has impacted me tremendously, more than I thought it would. I think it has been an emotional couple of weeks. Because you're vulnerable when you open up and you talk about your own experiences. And I think I was so touched by the outpouring of support and words of encouragement from people. But then to read about all these other stories was really hard for me to know that other people have gone through this. It's not that I wouldn't imagine that, but to actually read these stories and understand that my post had that kind of impact, that it could inspire people to actually come forth and empower themselves by telling their stories, right? It's like the silence that has lived on forever. And I think I thank Trump for actually bringing light to the subject. I hope that the conversation continues and that this actually, he was a catalyst for something good, for opening the doors for people to feel comfortable, more comfortable speaking up. You know, no one wants to feel like a victim. It was horrifying to see in media, you know, I'm not going to be victimized anymore. I'm thinking, did I say that? Because we don't want to feel like victims. We just wanted to be treated equally and with respect.
Mona Leelock, thanks for posting that on Facebook and giving other women and men a voice and talking with us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. And I just really want to thank all the people out there who have been supportive and speaking out on this issue. Like I said, it takes all of us really being open about it and having a conversation to have anything change.
Mona Leelock, former First Lady of Washington State, now a communications professional. After seeing the response to her online post, she created a new Facebook page called We Stand Together. There you will see other people's stories, and you'll see a conversation about what needs to change. We will tweet out a link to that Facebook page now, @KUOW.